Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back for another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here 7 days a week to help you learn and improve your American English. We do this by using words that are easy to understand. We also speak a little slower than normal, so you can have time to think about what we are saying. If you have a computer, we urge you to print the script, the words we say, and download and save the audio. Then you can practice your English lesson anytime you want. Today, we will hear more about the deadly virus known as Ebola. Researchers have developed an experimental vaccine that protects monkeys against the virus. They are now testing this vaccine on human volunteers in the United States. Plans call for additional testing on volunteers in Britain and West Africa. A report on the experimental vaccine was published in the journal Nature Medicine. More than 20 researchers were involved in the Ebola study. Listen carefully as Jonathan Evans provides us with more details.
Researchers from the U.S. National Institutes of Health reported that the vaccine was given to 4 monkeys. The treatment protected all 4 animals against Ebola when they were exposed to the virus 5 weeks later. Reports say other monkeys left unprotected died within 6 days. The researchers said they gave a second or booster vaccine to another group of monkeys 2 months after the first injection. This vaccine was similar to the first. It extended protection for all vaccinated monkeys for up to 10 months. They did not become sick. 8 monkeys were given the first injection, but not the second. When these animals were exposed to Ebola 10 months later, half of them died. The vaccine tested by the NIH is similar to one being developed by drug maker GlaxoSmithKline. It prepares the body's natural defenses against disease to fight the virus when an infection takes place. The human testing began last week at the NIH near Washington, D.C. The tests involve about 20 healthy volunteers. Researchers want to know not just if the vaccine is safe, but if it can cause the human body to react strongly enough to prevent Ebola infection. The volunteers will get only the first injection, not the booster shot. But in later tests, volunteers will receive both vaccines. The World Health Organization says it will know by November if the vaccine is safe for people. If so, it would be sent quickly to West Africa, going first to healthcare workers. The NIH says as many as 4 vaccines are being developed. 10 drugs are being tested as possible cures for people already infected with Ebola. President Barack Obama says the U.S. military would help in the fight against Ebola. He said military equipment will be used to build isolation centers, places where people infected with the virus can be separated from others. He said the U.S. military could also provide security for international health workers. Mr. Obama warned that it will be months before the virus is stopped. But he said, if efforts are not made to stop Ebola, it could spread across Africa and around the world. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. He told Bloomberg News that widespread use of a vaccine is still, in his words, a pretty long way off. And he warned that the epidemic is not going to be contained by what we are doing now. In Sierra Leone, officials have told people to stay at home for 3 days later this month as part of an effort to stop the spread of Ebola. A government official said that people will not be permitted to leave their homes from late September 18th until September 21st. The aid group Doctors Without Borders has criticized the quarantine order. It said it may cause people to try to hide their infections. Experts have repeatedly said that quarantines and border closures do not help control Ebola. Instead, they say people suspected of being infected should be immediately treated. The NIH says it knows how to stop the spread of Ebola. Find people infected with the virus, keep them away from others, give them medical care, and treat others they may have infected. It says people must be taught how to safely bury those who die from the disease. And it says healthcare workers must be trained how to control infections in hospitals. It says following these methods is how all previous Ebola outbreaks have been stopped. Dr. Fauci said that if we want to stop the spread of the virus, we must, in his words, make sure people do what works. I'm Jonathan Evans.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America. We are coming to you from Washington. If you happened to be visiting central Thailand recently, you could have attended a most unusual sporting event. You might have seen elephants playing polo matches. Elephants instead of horses. That seems natural enough because the elephant is Thailand's national symbol, an object that represents the country. Mario Ritter has the story.
The Pachyderms took part in the King's Cup Elephant Polo Tournament. 51 of the competitors were teenage females. Each weighed about 3 tons. They carried a player who gives directions and a mahout who helps to guide the animal. The owners of the elephants lent them to corporations which finance the teams. The huge creatures probably helped earn about $1 million in donations for the care of Thailand's elephants, both those in captivity and wild ones. Wael Suwede is a polo player from Dubai. He describes the differences between elephant polo and the traditional game played on horseback.
First, you don't have control of the elephant because there's a mahout who is guiding it. Second is the language, because the mahout does speak only Thai. And the stick is very long. It's a 2 meter long, whilst the stick of a polo is a 1.20. So that's a big difference.
Tim Boda organized the event. He says the elephant girls seem to understand the spirit of competition.
A lot of these elephants have been playing now for years, and I do not speak elephant, but watching them, first of all, it looks like they're having a whole lot of fun, and yeah, it may well be that they actually start to understand the rules, who knows?
This was the 13th year that the elephant polo tournament took place in Thailand. The Anantara Resort Hotel chain created the event. The only other games played under the guidance of the World Elephant Polo Association are the World Championships in Nepal. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thank you for joining us today for another As It Is program. Now it's time for you to practice reading and speaking American English. This is VOA, the Voice of America. Goodbye for now.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. More people are able to receive higher education worldwide than in the past. But the amount of higher education is causing social and economic divisions in many countries. A recent study by the Organization for Economic Development and Cooperation also finds that some developing countries are making surprising progress. 5 years ago, the world financial crisis hurt many nations, but it did not slow growth in education. A recent OECD report notes the quality and amount of education is increasing the division between what it calls the haves and the have-nots. In some areas, rising unemployment has affected people with lower education levels more than others. They earn considerably less than those with higher degrees. There are 34 economically developed countries in the OECD. Among those countries, the unemployment rate for people with a university education is about 5%. However, the rate is almost 20% for 25 to 34-year-olds who do not have a university degree. This situation also exists in developing economies. Andreas Schleicher is the Education and Skills Director for the OECD. He says the finding is a surprise.
In fact, that's one of the most surprising findings. You can see that in Brazil, you can see that in East Asia. I think for the countries where we do have data, it's a pretty common trend, and the recent financial crisis has amplified that trend. Education makes more of a difference in terms of your life chances than it used to do.
The report finds that education makes a greater difference for individuals within countries. But it also notes that education is reducing divisions between developed and developing countries. Andreas Schleicher says countries like China, Vietnam, and Brazil are making education an important goal. He says they are investing their limited resources to get good teachers and school leaders.
What's really interesting when you look at these data is that the world is no longer divided between rich and well-educated nations and poor and badly educated ones. Now, some of the middle-income countries see enormous progress.
The report says education rates are expanding faster in many developing countries than in rich ones. The Education at a Glance 2014 report provides detailed information about education in the OECD member states. It also reports on non-member countries, including China, India, Colombia, Brazil, and Russia. And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. For more of our programs, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Mario Ritter.
The following is a repeat presentation of the Learning English show, American Mosaic. The program was first broadcast in June.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we hear new music from Coldplay, and Washington, D.C. now has a Ferris wheel. We will tell you all about it. But first, a report on a young Chinese immigrant who is expert in a very old art from her homeland. The Chinese art of paper cutting has a long history. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization has recognized the art, called Jianzhi, on its intangible cultural heritage list. But Jianzhi is at risk of disappearing. Katie Weaver tells us about a Chinese immigrant to the United States who hopes to bring the art back to life.
Voyo Wu loves paper cutting.
It's called a dragon boat racing.
And she works hard to celebrate the ancient art form.
The earliest paper cutting was found in China 1,500 years ago.
On a recent Saturday, Ms. Wu held a paper cutting show at a shopping center near Washington. She demonstrated the art for hours to crowds at the center.
I really like it. I get so much fun and peace doing it. So I'm just hoping that more people will learn about this art that's kind of dying and enjoy it like I do.
Voyo Wu began to study the art of Jianzhi as a 14-year-old in her hometown in southeastern China. She says all the students at school had to learn the art, but she says she discovered a special love for it. So her teacher gave her extra training after class.
It was actually a mandatory art class for everybody, but I just found a special passion for it. So my teacher, she was willing to give me extra tutoring after class to train me in paper cutting.
Later, she won second prize in a national painting and calligraphy competition.
Paper is the easiest material that you can find. You can just turn it into a beautiful, intricate art. I think it's like magic to me.
Ms. Wu came to the U.S. after she finished college in 2008. Soon after, she became involved in an event to support and expand understanding of Chinese paper cutting. She has been invited to demonstrate the art at a wide collection of events. She also has shown her skill at famed museums like the Smithsonian Institution's Freer and Sackler Art Galleries in Washington.
I saw so many people coming to me and asking me. They were amazed. I think that it's important to promote the art form to American people or anyone who's interested. And then maybe it will lead to another thriving of this art form back in China.
Ms. Wu says paper cutting represents Chinese cultural values, history, and stories of people's lives. She uses the art as a tool to present Chinese culture to people who know little about it.
People, when they see it, they ask, what's the story behind this? And that's when the opportunity knocks, when you can actually explain to them, for example, what is the Chinese Lantern Festival.
Ms. Wu placed examples of her art around her as she demonstrated paper cutting at the shopping center. Some shoppers, like Anne Russ, took part in a workshop. Ms. Russ was struck by the finely detailed nature of the work. She said it put her at ease.
I would like to know about Chinese art specifically. It's very delicate, and I like the focus that it requires. It just takes me out of everything when you have to concentrate on something very closely. It's almost relaxing to put that much effort into it.
Voyo Wu says Chinese art is for all people.
It's amazing how Chinese art can resonate, can echo with people from other cultural backgrounds.
I'm Katie Weaver.
Ferris wheels are very tall, rounded structures that move in circular motion from top to bottom. They are commonly found at carnivals and amusement parks. People ride them for fun, although they don't go really fast like a roller coaster. Ferris wheels also provide riders with a great look at their surroundings. A new Ferris wheel, known as the Capitol Wheel, is doing just that in the Washington area. The structure stands 55 meters above the Potomac River. It is one of the few observation Ferris wheels in the world that is right on the water. LaShonda Johnson lives in the area. She says she got a new look at the city she knows well.
So the Capitol and all the historical museums and traffic, it was just peaceful.
The National Harbor is home to the Ferris wheel. The harbor is just outside Washington in Oxon Hill, Maryland. It is a new public center with shops, restaurants, and hotels, and now a Ferris wheel. The wheel has 42 cars, or gondolas, with heating and cooling systems. It can hold 336 riders. Kent Digby is operations director for the National Harbor. He says the Ferris wheel is very different from an amusement park ride. The idea is for people to enjoy some calming moments.
It's very smooth, so you really, if you weren't paying too much attention, you wouldn't really notice that you're moving. And that's all part of trying to make people comfortable and make sure that they understand that they're very safe.
The cost is $15 per person for a 15-minute ride. Mark Poliquin, who came from the state of Connecticut with his family, says the ride was worth it.
Top of the line, air-conditioned cabs, they got music playing.
The $15 million machine was built in the United States. Some of the parts are from Germany, and the gondolas came from Switzerland. It is similar to the London Eye Ferris wheel in Britain's capital. The London Eye was the world's tallest Ferris wheel until 2006. Now, that honor belongs to the high roller Ferris wheel that recently opened in Las Vegas, Nevada. It stands 167 meters in the air. The next tallest is the Singapore Flyer in Singapore, followed by the Star of Nanchang in China. Bulgarian Yavor Todorov says his children wanted to go on a ride, but he admits he had a good time as well.
It's exciting. You can see the whole Washington, D.C.
Each gondola seats 8 people, except for one special VIP car, which holds 4. There, for $50 per person, you can bring a bottle of wine.
I call it our little Ferrari. It's all red and black leather, and it's pretty slick with wine coolers and its own pop-up TV. And I'm sure more than one person will get engaged on a ride.
Kent Digby says the light show on the Ferris wheel is another treat. He says the lights can be made to go on and off in thousands of different orders.
1,600,000 lights, and they can light up in any different color of the rainbow.
The Capitol Wheel is open every day. Up to 800,000 people are expected to take the ride the first year. Recently, we got a letter from China. 26-year-old Judge Young asked if we could talk about and play some music from Coldplay on American Mosaic. Anna Mateo is here to meet that request.
The British band Coldplay hit the airwaves around the turn of the millennium. Their first album, Parachutes, was released in 2000. The group had a major hit with the song Yellow.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you. And everything you do, yeah, they were all yellow.
Singer Chris Martin leads Coldplay. Johnny Buckland is lead guitarist. Guy Berryman plays bass. And Will Champion is the band's drummer. Chris Martin recently said that Coldplay is successful because its members work well together. He said he does not know where the song ideas come from. But he says once they do come, the band builds on the ideas together, layer by layer. Martin likened it to building a car. He also said the fact that the band always shared all the money and all the credit has helped avoid disputes. Coldplay released its sixth studio album, Ghost Stories, last month. Critic Karen Gantz of Rolling Stone magazine suggested the ghost of the album is Chris Martin's wife, actress Gwyneth Paltrow. In March, the two announced that they were ending their marriage. The first song is called Always in My Head.
But though I try, my heart stays still, never moves, just won't be led. And so
critic Josh Terry of Consequence of Sound is not as excited by Ghost Stories, but he does praise a few songs, including Another's Arms.
Late night watching TV, used to be here beside me, used to be your arms around me, your body on my body. When the world means nothing to
Coldplay is currently touring around the world. They performed in Paris at the end of May. In the next few weeks, they will appear in Tokyo, Sydney, and London. We leave you with A Sky Full of Stars from the new Coldplay album, Ghost Stories.
'Cause you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars. I'm gonna give your sky, 'cause your sky full of stars, 'cause you light up the path.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
If you do.